You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
I got to be completely honest with you folks. I really do enjoy this show we do every year, the Saturday before Valentine's Day, because I always like any show, I guess, where it gives me an excuse to play some music. I like music. I like the way music makes you feel. I like the atmosphere that it creates, and I love the good time music from the 1960s. And so we play the music around Halloween, of course, throughout the month of December, the Christmas music, and even this show, the show nearest Valentine's Day, all these love songs, these feel-good songs from the 50s and 60s. We're going to be showcasing some of those songs tonight. Hard to have a more appropriate Valentine's Day song than Cupid, which is playing in the background.
Who is that singing?
That's Johnny Rivers. I can't believe you would even ask me that.
Well, you know, it was Sam Cooke.
That's
that
right.
Did the original.
Well, that's Johnny Rivers was known primarily as being an interpretive artist. He would take a lot of these songs and sing them, and he got a lot
of. Well, I put you on to Johnny Burnett earlier this year.
Oh, that's right. Anybody named Johnny in the 60s probably had good music. But anyway, hey, listen, in addition to that good music, we have got a powerhouse show for you tonight. James Edwards here, Keith Alexander. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to offer you our thoughts this hour, the entire first hour, on the Ralph Northam controversy in Virginia, which has spawned, I think, two or three other controversies as well.
Like a tornado, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Other tornadoes. Spin off from it.
It's fake controversy and it's fake outrage, but we'll talk about that in a second. Later in the show, Mark Weber is back for the first time this year. He's a regularly appearing guest. Mark Weber, one of our favorites, is back for the first time in 2019. He's going to help us grade President Trump's State of the Union address. And then in the third hour, so you got the Virginia controversies the first hour. You got the State of the Union, our take on that, in the second hour with Mark Weber. Third hour, Keith Alexander. Now, this is a big claim, but I'm going to go ahead and make it. Keith Alexander and I are going to cover three of the most absurdly ridiculous stories you've ever heard. Ever. Big claim after 15 years of radio. Well, you can tell me if they're three of the most ridiculous stories you've ever heard, and that's coming up in the third hour.
It's been a big week.
Let's get in right to it, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, Governor Ralph Northam, just about 2 weeks ago, a little less than that, I guess, he came out in a very clinical way, and he was talking about how the state of Virginia wanted to follow New York's progressive lead and basically make infanticide legal. You could abort a baby up until the day of delivery, even as they're in the birth canal.
Before.
And even after, if need be, you could infanticide those babies. And that caused a little bit of a stir, but nothing nearly as much as what it caused when it somehow leaked out what 30 or 40 years after the fact that he may or may not have appeared in his medical school yearbook as either a Klansman or a guy in blackface. Now,
at plan B, that he posted the picture of that in his yearbook of dedicated page.
We don't know what in the world's going on there. It's this is actually one of the most bizarre stories we've ever covered.
What is more important, infanticide or blackface? Well, I guess that we now know, in the hierarchy of today's crazy world, that infanticide doesn't hold a candle to blackface or being in a Klan outfit for a gag photograph.
This is one of the most delicious stories that has been put on our plate in a long, long time. There's, as they say in the Big Lebowski, so many ins, so many outs, so many what-have-yous to this. The whole thing, first of all, as was written by our good friend Brad Griffin this week, what kind of culture do we live in when both parties agree that wearing blackface is morally worse than infanticide? Why do we even bother to vote? The GOP isn't moving the Overton window here. It's competing with the Democrats to hunt down racial heretics and scout them. Now, Governor Northam of Virginia, Ralph Northam, has always been a squishy, moderate liberal. He's never done anything for white people. I don't have a problem with him having now being offered up as a sacrifice to the false gods of political correctness. These are the people that need to be skewered on
that
spit.
They always seem to be the ones, it's just from, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution on, the people that are the useful idiots, like Northam, wind up being the first casualties of the revolution.
And, of course, not only did all of the Republicans, this is Denise D'Souza's greatest day in life. You know, his whole thing is the Democrats are the real racist, and Martin Luther King was a Republican, and Bull Connor was a Democrat. We talk about that. Well, this is his whole life came into sharp focus today with this thing. But the Republicans are all—I mean, they're so stupid. They are so stupid. They are condemning this guy, and they're all saying the same thing. Now we'll get into that in a second too. Every single person, Republican and Democrat, black, white—they're all faking this outrage, and they're saying in one voice the exact same thing. It's almost like a canon, like a religious recitation of something you're supposed to say in some sort of
it's
a ritual.
Catechism.
Catechism. It's a ritual saying that they must say, and it's always, there's no place in society for racism, and we need him to resign so we can heal. Everybody has
let's
said,
forget about
things.
Unimportant things like abortion and infanticide, and let's focus on the real evil in the world, which is racism.
But let me tell you something about this. Nobody is truly hurt. Yeah, I saw Nancy Pelosi saying, you know, this is awful. There's no place in American society for this kind of racism, and Ralph Northam needs to resign so we can heal. As if this clown, this idiot, resigns, that there's going to be some healing and blacks are going to quit, filing grievances
blacks
against whites.
Blacks don't give two hoots in hell about all
Jesse
this.
Lee Peterson said that just yesterday. Jesse Peterson, I have it on my Twitter. There's nothing I'd like to see more than a conservative Republican governor of Virginia, but this whole blackface story is a non-issue. It's nice to see the Democrats past to finally catch up to them, but black folks don't care about blackface. It's all an act. And by the way, Jesse Lee Peterson was on Sam Bushman's radio show, Liberty Roundtable, libertyroundtable.com, just today, earlier today, so check that out. Jesse Lee Peterson, great friend of ours here at TPC, but this is all fake outrage. The blacks, let me tell you, they love when something like this happens, because what is Northam saying now? He's saying, I'm going to spend the rest of my governorship fighting for racial equity. They got him right where they want him. They don't care about somebody dressing in blackface. And if you did care about that, if you were truly hurt to the point where you needed to heal after seeing a gag picture, you're mentally ill and you need to seek help. Now, I'll put it as a comparison. It'd be like me if I see a picture of General Sherman. Sure, I don't like the SOB, and he's undoubtedly in hell, but I don't hurt from seeing a picture of him. It doesn't hurt me to the point where I need to heal just because I take a look.
Well, you may need reparations.
We deserve them more than they do for Sherman. But yeah, I mean, seeing a picture of Sherman doesn't make me, you know.
Well, you know, James, let me just say
he was offensive, to be sure, but I don't have to heal from it. I'm not hurt. I'm a fully functioning adult person.
Well, I'll tell you what the black reaction is. Here's what the black reaction is. Robert Frost had the classic definition of a liberal as a person that can't take their own side in an argument. Therefore, none of these liberal blacks, liberal American Indians, liberal feminists, liberal homosexuals, whatnot, are truly liberal, because they think when they take a left-wing position, they are backing their own side. What's the rest of this? You'll find out on the other end of this commercial break.
We're spending the whole hour on this topic. We are just getting started. So many layers of this onion to peel. Mark Weber going to talk about the State of the Union second hour, and then we've got stories even more bizarre than this one in the third, if you can believe it. What a night tonight with Valentine's Day music. We'll be right back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to try to educate you tonight. We're going to try to inform you. We're going to try to entertain you. But I promise there will be one thing that we for sure accomplish, and that is we're going to get you tapping your feet tonight. On a night like this where we're featuring some music, too, along with our normal commentary, I just want to keep the music playing. But I guess
we should have minstrel show music tonight based on theme.
I guess work must intrude, but I want to let you know that each of these songs were handpicked by yours truly. They're some of my favorites. I hope you'll enjoy them. But let's get back to this Ralph Northam thing. It has prompted me to bring out the old chart, Keith, and we've seen this chart before. What is racism? And here are the different things that qualify as racism in the current year. If a white person moves out, that's white flight, that's racism. If a white person moves in, that's gentrification, that's racism. If a white person sees color, of course, racism. If a white person doesn't see color, he's ignoring racism, and that's racism. If a white person doesn't partake in culture, he's non-inclusive, and that's racism. And if a white person does engage in culture, that's cultural appropriation, also racism.
And even if he does nothing and says nothing but doesn't live a poor life, then he is reaping the benefits of white privilege, and he's a racist.
It seems as though everything a white person does is...
Or doesn't do.
Right, or doesn't do is racism, which prompted my book years ago, which is still a valuable asset. But this whole thing with Northam, I say this from time to time. I got it from a movie. I don't remember what movie it was. But I like the quote. It's, I've seen enough to know I have seen too much. And I think we see that.
Racism, let's just go back to that. Racism did not exist until 1935.
And now it's more of a sin or an equal sin. By the way.
It's not an equal sin. It is the greatest sin. It is a sin from which all other sins come. And, the Bible needs to be rewritten according to the leftists now. And of course, the leftists are the people in charge of every Christian denomination now, virtually. There may be a few holdouts, but the left is working on it, and they're going to try to flip them as well. It was not until 1935 that a German Jewish Marxist coined the phrase. And since then, it has just grown like Topsy, no pun intended. You know, that's another minstrel show allusion there. But nonetheless, now racism apparently is more serious than murder or abortion or infanticide. That's what all of this, charade, this tempest in a teapot about blackface photograph from the mid-80s shows you now. In that this shows you the fact that 35 years ago, this was something that would be published in a medical school's annual or a law school's annual or a undergraduate school's annual. Now it is so toxic that just uttering the words is liable to taint you for life, cause you to be cast out into the outer darkness. This is what, we're talking before the show about a movie called Santa Fe, which is really, I think, the best Civil War movie of all. And it portrays John Brown as an evil presence, and Jeb Stuart and Robert E. Lee at West Point as being ultimate heroes. This was 1940s America. 1940, not just America, but 1940s Hollywood. And look at what has changed since then. Look at what has changed since 1984 when Ralph Northam posted that picture in his annual. Well, look, I was an adult in 1984, and I can tell you what was going on in the South at that time. Even though Ralph Northam would probably deny this with his dying breath, back then he was one of us. Conservative-minded Southern white men, like the type that populated college fraternities, medical schools, law schools, and other places at that time, were just having to cope for the first time with an emerging concept called political correctness. They wanted to prove that they weren't cowards, they weren't sissies, and they were not afraid of the big bad wolf. And that's why he posted that picture, to show that he didn't care two hoots in hell about political correctness.
But as we were saying a moment ago, 1980 compared to 2019 feels like more like 1950.
I mean, it's like there's more change between 1940 in America and today than there was between the year 1000 and 1940. I mean, this is the most, I've never seen such an accelerated pace of societal change. That's what you're seeing right now.
Well, let's talk about this, Keith. Let's go back to one of the other absurdities about this. And again, we got a couple of more segments about this. And it's not so much about Northam. I mean, I could care less about Northam, but himself. But the way that they're just shaking whites down with all of this fake outrage. Did he or didn't he, though? Now, originally he said he apologizes. He couldn't remember if he was the Klansman or the guy in blackface, but he apologizes and he repents for his sin of racism. And then the next day he says, well, actually, I wasn't in it at all. Now, come on now, Ralph. Were you in it or were you not? Either way, this isn't news, and these people really aren't offending. They're pretending it's a scam, man. Have a little bit of decency. Have a little bit of courage. So was he in it or not? I mean, nobody knows.
Well, look.
One day he was, and then he wasn't.
Look. The important thing is that in 1984, the left is right. His thinking was closer to ours than it was to the left. But, like the old cigarette commercial, they said, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, that's what happened to ambitious young politicians in the making in the interim, in the 35-year interim. So consequently, rather than standing up to political correctness, they bow down. But you know what? Everybody, Democrat, Republican, black or white, all are transgressors of political correctness, and any of them could be taken down with enough research.
Especially, that's a great point, Keith, especially if you can retroactively go back and find them guilty of anything at any time throughout the course of
35 years
a 60-year life.
Yeah, see, that's the typical liberal conundrum. They want to imagine that people at other points in history thought exactly like they do today, and they didn't. For example, Abraham Lincoln was a raging racist. The reason Abraham Lincoln wanted to prevent slavery from being extended into territories that were not yet states is because he objected to the presence of black people, either not only slave but free, being in those precincts. He wanted all of that wiped out. Frederick Douglass, compared to today's standards, was an Uncle Tom. There's no way that anybody can honestly look back at historical figures and say that they would pass muster under today's standards.
All that's true. I mean, if a guy like Lincoln was alive today, if Lincoln was alive under another name today, he'd be at the top of the most hated list. But, Keith, 5 seconds. Was it Ralph or was it not? And have you ever seen a guy apologize for being in a picture that he says he wasn't in?
No, he's setting new standards for hypocrisy.
Bizarre. Bizarre. More on this when we come back. More music. Mark Weber, second hour. What a show tonight. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As expected, Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren has launched her 2020 campaign.
This is the fight of our lives. The fight to build an America where dreams are possible, an America that works for everyone.
She made it official in an announcement in her home state. She'll make stops in New Hampshire and Iowa over the weekend. There are calls for impeachment for Virginia's lieutenant governor.
I believe these women. He needs to resign immediately. Should the lieutenant governor fail to do so, on Monday, I intend to introduce articles of impeachment.
Patrick Hope, Democratic member of Virginia's House of Delegates. Two women have now come forward to accuse Justin Fairfax of sexual assault. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allyn Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
Scientists may be coming up with a way to put mosquitoes on a diet. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
A new study published in the journal Cell says by manipulating the hormones that make mosquitoes feel full, the insects lose interest in human blood, thereby cutting back on mosquito bites. By giving the mosquitoes a saline solution containing drugs that act like a diet pill, they found the insects' appetite and attraction to humans dropped sharply. The study's still in its early stages. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
The United Nations chief says the world is losing the race with climate change, and it could be a disaster for Africa and beyond. Antonio Guterres is urging more political will for financing and adaptation. He spoke ahead of a summit of the African Union Continental Body. He says Africa will pay a higher price over climate change because of the dramatic impacts, but the continent itself doesn't contribute that much to global warming. This is USA Radio News.
Right.
Elvis with black hair.
And folks, let's not forget, Valentine's Day is on Thursday. Grab your husband, grab your wife. You can do a little slow dancing to Hold Me, Thrill Me,
but
Kiss
beware
Me.
Beware of the Me Too movement.
That's right. All right. Well, the biggest thing about this Ralph Northam fake controversy to me is and was, this was all going on, this broke on Super Bowl weekend, and I said on Twitter that the GOP and the DNC so-called leaders are having their own Super Bowl to see who can emerge as the most offended over Ralph's yearbook picture, watching grown adults pretend to be bent out of shape over something this trivial is embarrassing.
No, America, it's like two dogs.
A joke. And it's pathetic. It's Keith, it is so pathetic. These apologies never help, and they should never be offered, especially when you've done nothing wrong. This is nothing.
The thing that's so incredible to me is it's like two dogs fighting over a bone, and that was over the abortion issue. But then this tempest in a teapot, this kerfuffle about blackface arose, and not only the Democrats, but the Republicans too, totally abandoned a substantive issue like abortion and infanticide to fight over virtue signaling over blackface. Well, it's incredible.
Respond to this, Keith. We had a lot of responses to that Twitter post, and let me just read a couple, and then you respond. Here's one. It's utterly sickening to watch white Republicans and white Democrats try to out-cuck each other by pointing out that the other is the true racist. In the end, it doesn't matter. If you're white, there is no get-out-of-jail-for-being-racist-free card. White men need to stand together as brothers. That's true. We need to organize as a collective with group interests, just like everyone else does.
Well,
we say that all the time.
Total lack of racial solidarity. The fact that they're competing with one another to betray another white person. That's what it's all about.
Listen to this commentary. The white left is ultimately toast. The Northam yearbook scandal is just a grotesque example of what can be done. This is what you were talking about a second ago, Keith. What can be done to every white operating in American corporate, academic, government, and media apparatus? Who among them is guiltless of some form of so-called racism, structural oppression, microaggression, patriarchal, sexual advance, or insensitive practical joke? Furthermore, the entire white left has rendered itself neutered and defenseless by adopting a post-Christian morality in which sexism and racism are now the unforgivable sins. The white leftist is turned to stone in the face of an accusation, particularly by a person of color. And this is the last point, Keith. In the end, the white left's post-Christian moralism is only successful in the medium term and will ultimately be their undoing. Those who adhere to it will be defeated and replaced by those who only benefit from it. That is a great commentary on where they
are. It really is, and what it points out to is this. All of this is playing right into the hands of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and the Kamala Harrises and the Cory Bookers of the world, the Stacey Abrams of the world, the coalition of the other, because both parties embrace wholeheartedly political correctness and the idea that racism is the foulest human conduct ever, what they have done is they've made every white person, particularly anybody over, let's say, 30 years old, a tempting target who can be marginalized, who can be found guilty of these sins, and thereby cast into the outer darkness without any political power. You can strip them of their political power. They're all vulnerable to it. And I think maybe this is what the left has in mind. They intend to basically delegitimize every white person, man, woman, or child, from ever holding office, from ever having any position of authority in society, from having a good life. Basically, the canary in the coal mine for us is what's happened to whites in the former Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and South Africa. Living, there are 400,000 white South Africans, I understand, living in squatter camps with no gainful employment. They're denied all of that. They've basically been made, they're outcasts in their society. That's what they're trying to do to white people generally, and that's what they are in the process of accomplishing, even though these white fools like Elizabeth Warren and Ralph Northam apparently haven't figured it out yet.
Ramsey Paul doubled down on what we were just talking about a moment ago. He wrote, "The conservative pundits see this as a win to try to embarrass the governor of Virginia. They're too stupid to see that this gives moral validation to the idea that you can retroactively attack someone for modern political sins," quote unquote, "that cultural Marxists devise. Idiots." Now, Donald Trump himself said this was a horrible and unforgivable picture.
His advice from Ivanka, undoubtedly.
Listen to everybody. Donald Trump, Mark Warner, Tim Kaine, all of these Virginia Democrats calling for his resignation. Planned Parenthood, there is no place for the governor of Virginia's racist actions or language in our democracy, our country. Nancy Pelosi, there is no place in the Commonwealth of Virginia for this racism. He needs to resign so we can move forward. Mitch Landrieu, the mayor of New Orleans, there's no place in our democracy for bigotry or racism. Phil Bryant, the governor of the Confederate state of Mississippi, this should be condemned by every Democrat and Republican governor. I do so in the strongest possible way. Every Republican and every Democrat, black, white, moderate, liberal, conservative, they're all saying the same things. He needs to resign. We need to heal. There's no place in America or democracy for this.
Well, it reminds me.
How embarrassing.
It reminds me of the Japanese admiral or something in Midway that they're going to hand all of these politicians a pistol and say, "Do the honorable thing, go in the other room and blow your brains out."
But this is the thing: there is not one person. I don't care how left wing you are. I don't care who you are. It's like you said, John Brown wouldn't pass muster. keep talking to the break. John Brown wouldn't pass muster now by the modern parlance of our times. And this is true. You go back, there is always going to be something in some person's life. Even the actor Liam Neeson, who said how horrible he felt that when one of his family members was raped by blacks, that there was a while that he didn't like blacks or was walking around looking for black people to do him wrong so he could fight them. And it was written in the New York Times today that Liam Neeson, who is a left-wing, he's a great actor, I like his movies, but he's a left-wing. I mean, he's just part of the problem, politically speaking. And they would say he's a racial terrorist, they called him, because he said
nobody in Hollywood that is not going to fall to their knees and bow at the altar of political correctness, because their paymasters are Jews, and Jews are the most liberal part of the white population, or the population that passes as white. Now, what the Democrats and Hollywood and other groups don't understand is that as we double down on all this and basically make more and more behavior X-rated or beyond the pale, there's not going
to... Everybody can be found guilty. This is the point. Everybody can be found guilty. If there's one thing in their life that they've ever done, and the penalty is death, and there's no statute of limitations, the penalty is exile, no matter what it is, if it offends the sensibilities of a minority, or, excuse me, if they pretend that their sensibilities are offended, which is what's going on here, then you're done. And nobody's going to withstand that.
Right. It's basically, everybody can line up for their ticket to the gulag now, because that's what they want.
The white Democrats, see, this is what we were getting at a second ago. The white Democrats in the 80s and in the 90s, they could sell out their fellow whites for political expedience and for fame and fortune. But now that they've left so many non-whites in the country, who do you think they're going to go to? Now the Hispanics and the blacks have enough of a constituency in some areas that they're not going to elect somebody like Northam. They're going to elect Cortez. They're going to elect, Booker, they're going to elect people like that. When they get the chance to elect one of their own, they are always going to do that. And so the white liberals, you know, allowed themselves to be used for a while, but now that rabid hand is going to turn on them.
Well, for example, women. I always said that women were just a constituency of expediency for the left. As soon as they could, they would throw white women under the bus. You see they're doing it now. You know, I was thinking, too, in terms of this, you know, expanded definition of what is prohibited conduct. What are they going to say?
And it changes every day.
What are they going to say next year about all those women, those congresswomen in white dresses? They look like the ladies' auxiliary of the Ku Klux Klan. And so what are they? Are they going to point out that and say that they're in secret league and sympathy with the Ku Klux Klan by doing that?
If they can pretend,
even the black ones.
If they can pretend to be offended by it and get something, they'll do it. Believe me. And why wouldn't they? It's effective. And whites cave every time. That's why I am so proud to do this show. I am so proud to be a man that has the courage of his conviction, a man with a pair of you-know-what.
And is not going to apologize for being a white person.
And I'm not going to apologize for being right, and I don't give a damn what it costs me. We'll be back, folks.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take
take my eyes off you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a very special song for me. The day my daughter was born in March of 2010, I had a portable CD player in the hospital room. And when she was brought to my wife after, you know, they got out of the delivery room, that was the first song. I played that song the day she was born. It was the first song that, you know, she ever heard. And so that's always been our song. And we're going to play it at her wedding. And I had the opportunity, a real privilege, to take her to a daddy-daughter's Valentine's Day dance this week. We do it every year. We've done it every year since she's been old enough to walk. And we played that song. I requested that song be played there, and we had a little dance to it. I actually put a picture up on Twitter, at James Edwards TPC. It's also up on the website tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But this is Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day is not just for your spouses. It's for your extended family, too, and that's why we share it with you, ladies and gentlemen. I saw a great line this week. A dad is a son's first hero and a daughter's first love. Family is what it's all about. Family, that is the most important work. We'll talk a little more about that maybe in the third hour. But getting back to the story this hour, Keith, we got to go very quickly because we only got one more segment on this. We got to get to Mark Weber. We're going to talk about the State of the Union address. But not to be outdone, now we were just talking a moment ago about all of the people who have condemned Northam. Trump, all of the Democratic leaders, Planned Parenthood, and, you know, there's one group missing from that list. Who are we missing? Come on. They did it. Who's not on the list that you would expect to be on there that hasn't denounced him yet?
Republicans? What?
Well, no, of course they did. Yeah. The Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, Southern
come
Baptist,
on.
Yeah.
All right, so here it is. Russell Moore.
Every other denomination.
Russell Moore put out the press release in which he asked, he called for Northam to resign because, and here's the quote, abortion, and remember this whole thing, the backdrop to this whole scandal, this fake scandal about the blackface thing was just a couple of days before that he was talking about how, you know, you could abort a baby after it's born in Virginia, potentially. And Russell Moore says abortion and racism are twin evils. And it kind of reminds me, Keith, it kind of reminds me, I wish y'all could have seen Keith's face, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. It reminds me last summer when the Southern Baptist Convention and the Church of Satan, and it's hard to tell the difference between the two today, issued the same statement on denouncing racism as evil, the Church of Satan and the SBC. Now, we found out that the whole SBC resolution on the alt-right was a direct response to the Political Cesspool's commentary, so that's interesting. But
and it was probably authored by the Church of Satan.
So now you have the Southern Baptist Convention calling racism is as evil. It's a twin evil to the murdering of babies.
Well, see, that's a moderate position for a leftist now. You know, Russell Moore apparently just hasn't totally broken his bad ways with Christianity yet. He hasn't totally renounced Christianity. He now says that racism, a made-up construct of some German Marxist back in the mid-1930s, is almost as bad or equally bad with abortion, okay? This is insanity. Southern Baptist. All you members at Bellevue Baptist and all these other places, this is your church speaking to you. They're telling you,
if you don't hate your ancestors, you're as bad, and that's what racism is. Don't be fooled, everybody. If a guy dressing in blackface is as bad as murdering a baby as it fights for life on an operating table.
Well, you know, I'm really, this has made me look at Liam Neeson and Ralph Northam differently. At one point in their lives, I'm happy to say, they were sane people. They weren't self-hating whites until they started smoking the crack pipe of liberalism.
I don't think they are now. I think they're just doing what they need to do to stay rich and powerful.
Yeah, they're lying their ever-loving heads off in order to hold on to power and wealth position.
I was actually on with Richard Spencer on his YouTube show this week, and you can check that out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And Richard said, Ralph's going to resign over this. I said, no, he's not, Richard. I don't see any way he doesn't. I said, Richard, if he makes it through the weekend, there's going to be another story next week that's going to blow this off the radar. If he makes it through this weekend, the storm will dissipate. Now, this will always nag him, But if he makes it through the week, he's staying. And I've been proven right about that. And then the next thing was the Liam Neeson thing, and that's got everybody's attention. And then, by the way, well, not just that. There's like 15 other scandals in Virginia that came on the heels of this. So now the black lieutenant governor, who would have presumably taken Northam's place, who is far more radical than even Northam and far more white-hating and bad news for so-called conservatives, now he got me too'd a couple of times.
Well,
he
sexual peccadilloes are the Achilles heel of the black politician, just like racism or imagined racism is the Achilles heels of white politicians. And basically, they can remember you were telling me, first of all, Wortham, let's say he commits Harry Caray politically. Then you've got the black lieutenant governor who I probably is never going to commit Harry Caray, but if they were able to hound him from office, then you've got the white attorney general.
He's third in line in the line of secession.
And he's already confessed to the unpardonable sin of racism by being in blackface.
This whole blackface thing is like everywhere now. And that was another thing Northam said. Well, first, I was in the picture. I can't remember which one I was. Well, actually, next day, I'm not in it at all. And then the third day was, I actually did dress up in blackface once as Michael Jackson, but you don't have a picture of that.
That was just because I admired Jackson so much.
Still racism because we talked about cultural appropriation. But listen to this. This was the thing that was so rich about the AG, you brought this up. So the black lieutenant governor would have taken over and everybody would have been happy about that, but he got me too'd, so now there's some controversy there. And then the thing with the AG, the AG actually had the gall to call, now this is another black Democrat, his name is, I think, Mark Herring, and he called for Northam's resignation, and then it turned out he was in blackface. So should resign.
They're not going to call for any of them to get out because the fourth in line is a Republican,
a white Republican.
Yeah, right.
So now it's like nothing to see here.
Yeah. See, the thing about Democrats are they're never going to take their principles to such an absurd length that it actually costs them any political power. Only Republicans are capable of that type of political insanity. They're going to do that. Now, let's look at minstrel show stuff, by the way, which is what blackface is. It started before the abolition of slavery. It was popular in the 1840s. It became popular overseas. For example, in America, we can look to Eddie Cantor and Al Jolson. They dressed in blackface and performed in the 20s and 30s. Guess what? Both were Jewish, okay? Where's the Jewish complicity in all of this? They're the one you had in England. I remember, I have an English mother. Well, one of our relatives sent over a album of black minstrel shows, some George something or other group of minstrels in England. Apparently, minstrel shows were very popular in England up through the 1950s. Now it's kind of a historical anachronism, and one of the reasons that people like Northam and Herring or something, the guy that...
I just thought that was so rich. He called for his resignation, but he didn't think the picture of him and doing the exact same thing was going to come out. That just goes to show how jacked up these politicians are.
Well, the thing, too, is that the reason people thought it was funny because it was such an over-the-top, anachronistic thing by the 80s. That was part of it was an absurdity, considered absurd in the mid-80s when people like Northam and Herring did it. But, this is absolute insanity to allow, the pace of cultural change has accelerated to such a point that people, everybody in their own lifetime, anybody that is not in the grave yet, that's in their 60s or 70s or even 50s, has something in their past that could disqualify them from holding high office politically, from having an executive position in business. All it takes is somebody energetic enough to dig it out.
That's right. And that's right. But I'll tell you, even in Hollywood, as recently as a couple of years ago, there was this big movie with Ben Stiller and Jack Black and Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr., it's called Tropic Thunder. It was a blockbuster. Robert Downey Jr. spent the whole movie in blackface. It's all characters in blackface. But listen, I got to say this. We only got a minute left. I told you I was talking to Richard about this week. Richard actually really did have a good line. He wrote what Trump should have said in reaction to this fake controversy. And instead of Trump saying this was unforgivable and he needs to resign like everybody else did from Planned Parenthood to the Southern Baptist Convention, this is what Trump should have said. It's a great quote. The political class is up in arms over a newly discovered yearbook photo from the 80s in which the Virginia governor is seen in blackface. Was it tasteless? Perhaps. It was a Halloween prank. Who hasn't done something stupid and regrettable years ago? I know I have. This is Richard writing for Trump. But a prank shouldn't disqualify a man from office. What the political class should be talking about is the callous clinical way in which Northam described what many would consider to be infanticide. Northam's comments demonstrated a disregard for the life of a child and a lack of understanding of the tragedy of abortion. But the political class in Washington gets more excited about a supposed racism controversy than real ethical questions surrounding abortion. I won't lose sight of what really matters. Now, of course, the president didn't say that. He said what everybody else has said. No place in democracy for this. I thought what Richard wrote there was incredibly well written.
You're seeing two ships passing in the night culturally. You're seeing blackface become more and more important and abortion becoming less and less important.
As our good friend Rich in Nashville writes, remember, no one gets anywhere in politics unless there's a control file on them somewhere. Good point. Okay, we'll be back. Mark Weber next.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.